Blog Talk Radio.
Whatever mess you're in, the demons you've been fighting, the demons you've been
Welcome to the Garden of Enlightenment with Lee Wildo, Weaver of Dreams, and sorry, Weaver of Dreams and Frank, aka Flood Picasso, aka sorry, I'm not too sure of his new name. It's Laurent Montana. And yeah, so welcome to the show. These are front page picks as well as some open poetry. I'm going to go to the board now and bring on some callers. Hello, Weaver. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my dear. Sorry. Hello. Happy to be here.
Awesome to have you. Thank you for calling in.
My pleasure.
All right. So I'm going to go to the board here.
Oh, ding dong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, area code 7. Hi, is that Zach?
Yes.
Hi, great to have you. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, Zach.
All right.
Hey, Katie.
Oh, we got another ding-dong.
Area code 707. Who's calling, please?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Appreciate you calling in.
Great.
All right.
Hi, Gwen. Hello.
Hello.
Bing bong. I love it.
Area code 239. Who's calling, please? Hello, area code 239. Hello, area code 239. Who's calling, please?
Is it a heavy breather?
I think you're on mute, 239. Well, we'll just leave them on and see if we can hear from them in a bit. All right, Katie, what do we have?
Okay. Well, first of all, we have, let's get that out there. It's called Honest Histrionomy by Christopher Rogue. Blimey, that was a hard one. And Zach, would you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Honest Histrionics. Demanding your focus, folklore from comets, mankind comes blind with wallets open, loose-handed leather, cash and one feather, charge card name, four letters, love, limitless credit, married to the debt, mowing long for the bill, price to pay, poor homely standing still, see today, hear your heart, seize the way, you terrorize thought, an enterprise of fault. Battleship, of course. Battleship, of course. And poem.
Great read, Zach. And Katie, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I thought, well, if I could have actually read it out properly, it would have been wonderful. Sorry about that stumbling at the beginning. Yes, I think it, I love the way it's set out. I love the little three-line stanzas with that little triangular shape to them, first two of them. Really nice. I love when it's not just straight lines for some reason. It makes it more fun to read, I think. Makes you want to go through it and find out what's happening next. But I love so much. I like this one. Limitless credit, married to the debt, lonely long for the bill, price to pay, poor homely standing still. Oh my, yes, that's always going to be a problem, isn't it? In this day and age, money is the god. Money and power, yeah. But yeah, and the last line is going to be my battle cry. Battle shit, of course. I don't know what it means, but I love it. So, great. A lovely job. Thank you so much, Christopher Rogue. I love your handle. And I liked your poetry very much. So, thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Eva. Thank you. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was an interesting introspective piece, I thought, as he went through everything that was, you know, very gray and dark. And I really thought it was an interesting look inside of himself. And I'm not quite sure about the Battle of the Force, but, you know, I'm not sure what that was. It's an afterthought, but I really enjoyed it. Nice poem.
Great comment. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. Like you said, it was introspective, and there's a lot of deep thought in this. See today, hear your heart, sees the way you terrorize thought. And you're not really made to think, and kind of sad in a way, you know, when you're terrorizing your thought, that can't be good. An enterprise of fault, battleship off course, battleship of horse. Yeah, interesting, right? Thank you for sharing, Lucifer, or Percifer. And Zach, you read it. What did you think?
I thought that it demanded focus, like the triangular stanzas, a sense of pointy momentum, ruled by the power of money, the root of all evil, and the battleship, more like battleship, am I right? Really nicely done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And area code 239, are you with us? No. So we'll continue on, please, Katie.
Okay, no problem. Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I was being very affable. No, that's fine, no problem. So we have While Raking Leaves by Vito Tribuzio. I love these names. All set to trip up my little tongue. And Gray, would you care to read this one for us, please?
Sure. This is by Vito Tribuzio, who sadly passed away, I believe, last year. But memories of you come like the aroma of roasted chestnuts when October turns treetops into colorful sunsets. Wounds of love aren't colorful, but they can be blood red when a single leaf refuses to stay in a pile under the old chestnut and opts to ride the fickle wind and home. Wow. That was kind of sad. What are your thoughts, Peter?
Oh, well, I'm glad you told me before I started commenting. Thanks very much, my dear. That's very sad, obviously, but I love the underneath this picture we have Vito lives on through his poetry. So sweet. Yeah, this is, of course, lovely. I did expect it to be. But, I mean, that those last few lines are so telling. Refuses to stay in a pile under the old chestnut and opts to ride the fickle wind. That's a leaf for you. That's a leaf with a mind of its own. And I can imagine that would be the same as the personality of the person that wrote it. While Raking Leaves. Beautiful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lisa. Thank you. And Irish Rose, what did you think?
I thought it was a really nice philosophical memory, touch of melancholy, you know, the way it opened, memories of you come like the aroma of roasted chestnuts. How many times are we always reminded of maybe certain things that have touched our lives, like, you know, a season or a smell or a color or how the weather feels, you know? And so I thought that played really well with the way that he wrote the poem, and it was just a really nice tender memory that was shared. I enjoyed it.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Irish. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
There's such a solemnness to the piece, very much like I was very much drawn to the umber-like colors of orange, brown, and red, brought to mind the decay of fall, riding onto the fickle wind. So it could blow either way, and I thought that was very sad, and I hope that this man is at peace.
Absolutely. Thank you, Zach. And I'm going to try again. Area code 239. Are you there? Unmute. 239. Okay, no. So we're just going to leave them on hold, I guess. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the poem. It was a pleasure to read it. I miss Vito. He was a great guy. He used to have a lot of humor in his presence, which is pretty funny, you know. I remember laughing a lot when he'd call in because he was just such a character, full of life and vigor. And to hear the news that he had passed was very tragic. But, you know, his words live on in his poetry, which is a beautiful thing. So we miss you, Vito, and thank you for sharing. All right, Eva, what do we have next?
And next up we have The Drinks Wind by Obinex. And Irish Rose, would you give us a read for us, please?
Begin, Paul. The Drinks Wind by Obinex. The drinks wind minds my arms to drink in the sable strips on the white figure of the zebra whirling like silhouettes of grass blades on the white screen. In poem.
Beautiful read, Irish. And Katie, what are your thoughts?
Yes, that was very well read. Thank you so much for that. Again, we have these wonderful brevities, which I am totally admiring of. People can put so much into so few words, and this is lovely. That first line, the drinks wind mind my eyes. That's just, and then to drink in the sable strips on the white figure of the zebra. Well, that's the whole picture for you right there and then. Yes, this is just a wonderful brevity with so much in it and so much movement, so much, so interesting. You read it and then you want to read it again to see what you've missed, and then again you want to read it again. But yeah, very well done. Thank you, Obinesco. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you, Eva, so much for that great comment. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought it was really cool. Minding the drink's wind, it's this dark aroma, and what a contrast with the white and black of the zebra. And there's a swirling kind of whiteness, and it reminded me of like Ezra Pound, but for like the shade of white instead of black. It was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Zach. And Irish Rose, what did you think?
Well, I really thought it was well constructed with such a nice brevity, and the imagery flowed really well, you know. It gave me a feeling of familiarity. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the poem. I mean, it's a brevity, but it paints a picture of your mind of this zebra and its stripes swirling like silhouettes of grass blades on the white screen. Yeah, beautifully written. Thank you for sharing, Obinex. All right, Eva, what do you think? What do we have next?
Next we have... Oh, not on mute, that's good. Next we have Pendulum in the Sway of Temptation by Betty Upchurch, and I will give this one a read. Hi, Frank. Okay. Pendulum in the Sway of Temptation by Betty Upchurch. One thing about me, I wear my vices in public. You know their names, I've named them, clothed them, befriended. Two to be exact, LOL, lol, more to come. One thing I forget to do, take notes, listen to their speeches, give them time to wear out. I am their elan and their sorrow confusing. Trees are changing colour, I liken that to vices. So bad they must be that tree have to release them once a year. Temptation constantly changes colours too, ever present, ever tempting, and grows from green naivety to harsh red fury. Quick to the draw they are, so I offered Jameson, or beer, coffee, calms a situation. I say prayers to sway back to their fort. I become central, centered, and me again, and the demon smiles, takes a rest, returns later. End poem.
Wow, great read. That was fantastic, right? What did you think, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really enjoyed this piece. I thought it was really well done about exposing one's inner foibles and being okay with them, or just being aware of them and saying, okay, this is where they are, and yeah, I'm friends with them. So, you know, understanding what makes ourselves up, and I thought it was really well the way she brought it out. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Irish Rose. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I loved it. I thought there was like a sense of mischief to it almost, a sense of letting the guard up like a hand of cards. And the images kind of like reminded me of a deck. I could just see those images kind of forming a kind of a veneer to this person. And there's just a real sense of complexity to it. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. And Weaver, what did you think of the poll?
I really enjoyed it. Sorry, bear with me. Dearie me. I'm sorry, my mouse is playing silly beggars with me again. I thought it was lovely. I've always enjoyed Becky's work. She's different. She gives you something that you don't expect. And it's always something colorful and interesting. And I love the fact that, you know, okay, I've got my vices. You know it. I know it. Live with it. I love that attitude. You know, that's, you've got to accept me and accept everything that comes with me. And that's it, the way it should be. But I have to say, I think my favorite line of all, I am their Elan and their sorrow, confusing. That's so cool. It really is. And then, of course, we've got trees are changing color. I liken that to vices. I think anything's going to make you think of vices. Cool. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Very clever and very entertaining, and thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Eva. And, you know, I really enjoyed the write, too. I enjoyed that opening stanza. The one thing about me, I wear my vices in public. You know their names. I've named them, clothed them, befriended. Two, to be exact. LOL, more to come, you know. We all have vices, and, you know, whether we show them in public or not is our own choice. But, you know, she chooses to, which is great. You know, life constantly changes, and the colors, you know, change as well. So it's we are trees shedding leaves in a daily existence. So I thought that was great. Great introspective write, for sure. And, yeah, what's next, Weaver?
And next we have Wind on the Waves by Wayne Yip. And Zach, could you give this a read for us, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Wind on the Waves. Singing Cypress in Hollow Chambers of
Pain. Oh, hold on, sorry. Sorry, Zach. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but he has a SoundCloud.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
you know, I read that a second ago. SoundCloud, by the way.
Okay, I apologize.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
This is called Wind on the Waves. Singing cypress in hollow chambers of sea, sharpened sunken sands weep in shoreline tree. Prism popsicle people, knitted cashmere girl, the opal orchard that grows in a pearl. Reflections of sea-skimmed moonbeams, laughing mountains tickle cloud-cushioned seams. Distant drops glowing in recycled wave. Bingo blinking, eyes butterscotch concave. Trigger trinkets trembling as oceans fly, flamingo flowers giggle in softened sky. Dancing in denim dust on milky membrane, lemongrass lady fingers flute to contain. Winston's wind whispers to waterlogged wave, beach breeze, kiss to caramel-colored kids, cave. Sundown shadows sing saxophone blues, silence tossing purple hues for lunar light views. Is
beautiful read. And I really enjoyed the poem. It really gave off a peaceful and endearing vibe. And I thought it was fantastically read and written. So beautiful job, and thank you for sharing, Wayne Agent. Yeah. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful once we got his voice coming through. He's got an amazing accent. I don't suppose you would notice it as much as I do, but yeah, I love his accent. I think he did it very well. It was beautifully written. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, Lisa. Thank you. And Irish Rose, what did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I mean, it was so smashed full of alliteration that it was just like, whoa. And I love the way that he used the backdrop of music. It paired really well with the ebb and flow of his work here. And you could just feel the tug of that, of the ocean and things happening and colors and weather. And I just thought it was really well composed, nice piece.
Absolutely. Excellent comment. Thank you, Irish Rose. And Zach, what did you think?
Was well done. I thought there was such a serenity to the piece, and a weeping kind of sadness too. It just felt chilly, and like the prison swaying back and forth, and then there was such mountainous imagery that could only be described as stirring, and it reminded me of the building score for Schindler's List that was really tear-inducing, and the misty pale sadness just does not end until the lunar notes kind of fade away, and I really like that fading image. It was really well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Zach. Hello, it's area code 763. Is that you, Dexter?
It is.
Hello, Dexter?
Glad.
Oh, wow.
Yep,
great to hear your voice.
Great to hear yours, too, as well, Gray. Miss you.
Hey.
Yeah, you too. How have things been?
I've been good, and I'm glad to be back in these spots. So, thank you for having me aboard.
Absolutely, great to have you. Yeah, I miss you. It's been a long time. Awesome. So, yeah, welcome to the show. Did you get a chance to hear that last poem that was read?
Yeah, you know, Wayne. Something about Wayne is that, you know, whether you're talking about like almost, you know, rap or music or whatever, it's almost like it's always in pocket. Wayne is always in pocket when he writes. You know, he has his own flow that is directly on point. And he's mastered it to the point that, you know, is almost envious, you know, or is, you know, to be envied of, you know. He's right on pocket, but this one was a beautiful piece and done to some gorgeous music, so very well done, Wayne.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. All right, I'm going to try and bring callers 239 back on. Hello, area code 239. Are you there? No. All right, Lisa, what do we have next?
Okay, what we have next is Under the Moonlight, With Your Tide I Rise by Jenny the Deep. And Gwen, could you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Thank you. Again, poem, Under the Moonlight, With Your Tide I Rise, by Jimmy Biddy. Transcending lunar eyes, undressing me tonight. Your moonbeam lifts me high, shattering my belly off. Passion saturates inside my sea of love, floating with each touch, or splashing from above. As our vessels glisten to your howls, I listen. Your swollen tides begin, shooting stars burst within. Drenched, milky white, bathing, echoes elevating, our worlds collide, shaking, for you I am aching. End poem.
Wow, fantastic read, Irish Rose. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, well, as we have in the AN, 64 word, but in contrained form, four standards, four lines, each standard, six syllables, each line. Well, that's hard work. That's putting a bit of pressure on yourself. But yes, I enjoyed it. It's full of so much imagery, and I love anything to do with lunar eyes and the moon. And I'm sorry, it sounds like somebody's moving furniture. I do apologize. It was the same the last time I was on. There's so much noise in the background. I do hope you can hear me, because I can't hear myself. Okay, back to this lovely piece of poetry. So drenched Milky Way bathing, echoes elevating, our worlds collide shaking, for you I am aching. That is just very sweet. Yeah, so I enjoyed sharing with Jenny.
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you so much. And Zach, what did you think?
I loved how the moonbeam kind of like floats and lifts the reader up, and there's like a kind of a building of momentum, and there's a definite like celestial sensuality and the passionate kind of clash of soulmates. It's very well done.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And Mr. Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, this is such a sensual piece, transcending lunar eyes, undressing me tonight. Your beam lifts me high, enchanting my dull life. It's almost a moment that we wish we all could live in endlessly, you know, right? Because we all... It sometimes have that dull life, and then when that person can swing in and lift us out of that for a moment, that's where love begins. And I thought that's where she captured. So very well done, Jenny. This was a very sensual piece, and I loved it.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And I agree with Elle's comment wholeheartedly. There's something magical about moonlight and romance under the moonlight, you know. It's purely endearing and heart capturing, you know. It really is a very spiritual time and just a beautiful place to be. And thank you so much for sharing, Jenny. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
On mute.
Oh, she's dropped.
Oh.
Okay. Well, if you've got dropped, Irish Rose, please call back. All right. Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have Embroidery by Papa Terminus. And Dexter, do you read this for us, please? Dex?
Absolutely.
Thank
this
you.
This is Embroidery by Papa Terminus. She embroidered the twilight, her hand shook, caressing, an apricot moon cutting through a heavy curtain. Mist wasps over, shadowing the lagoon. Steam lifts like a kettle of heated potpourri, rising as the river flows into the sea. She bears the water, pouring it through clay pots, washing away dust and grime from his feet, under the apricot moon, plucking the grape from the vine, picking an apple from the tree's limb, falling through cracks of the porcelain, with having knowledge of where the sidewalk ends, underneath the apricot moon, her knees shake as she presses the needle through the fabric, piercing together the patch this work tapestry. End poem.
Beautiful read. Thank you, Dexter. And, you know, I really enjoyed this. It's called Embroidery. And, you know, she embroidered the twilight, her hand shook, caressing an apricot moon. cutting through a heavy curtain. I mean, that just draws you in, and then it holds you all the way through with misraced, overshaped, shadowing them through. Steam lifts like a kettle with heated pot burning, rising as the river flows into the sea. Just beautiful and sentimental. He says in his author's notes, I wrote this for my mother. Just that in mind, go and wrote this poem, for a mother's love is unconditional. And I thought it was beautiful, tribute to his mother. Yeah, so what did you think, Lisa?
Oh, I agree. It's lovely. I love the fact, you know, people love their mother and they're happy to write something beautiful for her. And embroidery just sounds the perfect thing for this particular lady. She embroidered the twilight, her hand shoot, caressing an apricot moon, cutting through a heavy curtain, mist wattle overshadowing the lagoon. It's just a lovely setting. And then you have someone enjoying their hobby. But then again, it's not necessarily just a hobby, because you produce beautiful things. Something I've always thought, it must be very calming to do something like that. So beautifully done, very sweet. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Wonderful comment. Thank you so much. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I thought that he did a fantastic job embroidering a celestial selection of trippy orange twilight. Like, I appreciated the surrealness of the realm already. And from the setting of the apricot moon, from the growing of the fruit and more fruit growing, kind of like fertile ground, a lovely piece and a delicate tapestry woven by a son worthy of their mother's love. Really well done.
Great comment, Zach. Thank you so much. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
I thought that this was a marvelous piece. You know, what it reminded me of was almost like a Tom Waits song. And I don't mean that to, like, go, that's what it is compared to, but just in the matter of the feeling to it and the deepness, the depth to it, and the fact that it probably could be a song. And especially if it's extended to towards his mother. And so I just thought this had an overwhelming flux of emotion. And so very well done to Papa.
Great comment. Thank you so much. Yeah. Would you mind adding the next poem, please?
Of course, no problem. And I have it. All right, did have it. Oh, there it is. Sorry, I'm getting myself excited. Things are disappearing. Okay, we have now Dissolving Sins by K.G. Pepe. And I will give this one a read. Dissolving Sins. Beautiful picture. The ocean recedes, taking with it your fear, your sins, mixing with the salty water, dissolving, then no more. End poem.
Great read. And Zach, what did you think?
Oh, lovely brevity. It reminded me of Lucinda Williams' Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, but with an oceanic setting, taking away the fears instead of Lucinda's setting, more rural. Really well done.
Great comment, Zach. Thank you so much. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about taking away your fears and about how the ocean recedes, and she did it in so little words. So, well done. Bravo. Very well done piece.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the ocean recedes, taking with it your fear, your sins, mixing with the salty water, dissolving, then no more. I mean, you know, the ocean has the ability to pull your spirit into it and carry it aloft with its waters. So I agree wholeheartedly with her poem, and it was a beautiful brevity. Thank you for sharing, K.G. Pepe. All right, Eva, what do we have next?
Next, we have Symmetrics of Pain by Diane D. And this one has a SoundCloud.
Yeah, I'll play that.
Thank you.
Symmetrics of Pain by Diane D. Light, an ever-shifting kaleidoscope. A brief shuffle, all patterns fade. Pain raises periscopes, spiked colors, rolling fragments of a checkerboard past. Rotating mirrors restrain turbulence, reflecting patterns, bits of colored glass. Twisting spiral, optical imprints leading to a rotating funnel. Throes of agony. Swirling billows of baggage, broken pellets, triggers in a cyclonic viewer. Shredded bits, etched rolling memories, layered geometric patterns of all trespasses. Bellowed swifts, torment sagging within a stained glass world of crumbling visions. Goodbye thunderous ebbs of swollen scars carved upon puffy cheeks are telltale stripes of wear. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read. What are your thoughts, Weaver?
Oh yes, that was very epic, the music behind, wasn't it? You surely want to stand up and salute. It's very good. I enjoyed it. Lovely reading voice too. Then you have
absolutely.
Then we have twisting spiral, optical imprints leading to a rotating funnel, throes of agony. That sounds dire. I don't want that. No, leave that one. We'll go to. I don't want you to be suffering at all, Diane. Stop with the twisting and spiraling. Not good for you. Anyway, yes. It's just a picture came into my mind of the poor girl in a kaleidoscope getting fussed about. Terrible. I love kaleidoscopes. I collect them. I've got about 5 now, I think. Great fun. Yeah, so, but this is very, very well written, and it brings an awful lot of what's going on to us to read. Pain raises periscopes, spiked colour, rolling fragments of a checkerboard past, which is exactly what your good old kaleidoscope does. It's got lots of different little fragments, different colours, and they just give you a random pattern, and you know, and you can go on and you can obliterate it and go on to the next. But unfortunately, with life, it's not that easy to obliterate. You have to live with it, live through it, and get past it. So, yeah, beautifully written, Diane. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
Really well done. It reminded me a lot of the kaleidoscope Lateralis by Tool. It reminded me of like a prism of an uncomfortable images, just crisscrossing fragments. And there's kind of a jagged trauma here. Triggers, baggage, shredded bits, rolling memories, stained glass world that drenches the setting in a kind of like a Poe-like glare, like Fairy Mask of the Red Death. Well done.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Zach. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was an incredible piece. I thought that she got in a really good role with rotating mirrors, resistant turbulence, reflecting patterns, bits of colored glass, twisted spiral, optical imprints leading to, you know, this entire role that she got on was just a brilliant execution of vocabulary and imagery. And I thought that this was one of my favorite pieces that I've ever read. And I've read a lot by Diane, but I thought that this was one of my favorite ones by her because I thought she got right in where she needed to be and delivered a punch. So very well done.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you. And, you know, I really enjoyed her take on the prompt. You know, it says in her picture on her poem, it says, the idea behind the kaleidoscope is that it is a structure that's filled with broken bits and pieces. And somehow, if you can look through them, you still see something beautiful. I feel we are all that way, which is true. I mean, our life is a kaleidoscope of images that, you know, are we look back on, and somehow there's a beauty in it all. You know, it makes us who we are in our life, and to be able to look back on it through a kaleidoscope is just a wonderful thought. So, yeah, it was an excellent write with strong imagery, and, you know, change is a process. It's both beautiful and painful. And I thought it was really well done. So thank you for sharing that, Diane D. All right, Lisa, what do you have next?
Now, next we have, now I really hope this is the title, saying it completely wrong. For me, it's The Shaki of Zen by Gornaway. Probably something completely different because I never can say things properly. But that's what we've got, and it's coming up now, The Shaki of Zen. And, Dexter, would you read this for us, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. So this is that one, The Sake of Zen. Kidnapped by solitude to drink green tea alone. Raking, recalled pebbles of Zen garden stones. Ceremony of contemplation and bitter memories to be thrown away in the sounds of flaming bells, chiming bells of being wrong in written pages. Final chapters of stories to come of age or to come before the end. Found in Zen with green tea for meditation. Drunk by the turmoil of a rock with ringing bells. In lines of one dimension's horizon's abyss, my friends called solitude is looking back at me, showing me footprints of starts and ends, drinking sake and green tea to set me free. End poem.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Dexter. I mean, sorry, great read, Dexter. And what do you think, Eva?
Oh, I like this a lot. I must admit, I do like sake too, but I thought this was lovely. And I'd love to go to one of these beautiful Japanese, or is it Chinese, tea gardens and have the tea ceremony, which is a real ceremony. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? It really does. Found in Zen with green tea for meditation, drunk by this hermit on a rock of ringing bells. That's just lovely. It sounds like a fabulous experience. And showing me footprints, the last two lines, showing me footprints of starts and ends, drinking sake and green tea to set me free. Oh, it will certainly set you free. It's good stuff. So you've got sake to make you feel happy and green tea to make you healthy. You couldn't ask for more, all in one place. Brilliant. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Eva. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought that the bitter taste of sake kind of permeated it throughout, but not like totally, because we have the Zen-like aspect of it kind of balancing it out. And there's a sense of turning back a little bit on religion or a group of people, but not so much. I don't think so. Instead of like doing that, I think like just being happy and free is good enough. And I really like that sentiment. And it was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And yeah, I enjoyed the poem. You know, it really brought you into this picture of this peaceful moment in time where he's sitting there drinking his sake and green tea. And, you know, I really enjoyed the title, Sake of Zen, question mark. You know, found in Zen with green tea for meditation, drunk by this hermit on a rock of ringing bells. You know, it really just paints a picture of this person just enjoying a moment in peace on a rock of ringing bells, which is a beautiful thing. So thank you so much for sharing, Bromley. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful piece. You know, when you're talking about the solitude and drinking of sake and zen you know, what kind of came to mind, what was kind of funny is that from The Lost Boys, when he goes, a billion people in China can't be wrong, or whatever, when he said that, you know, it was like, the fact is that this is a solitude, and this is a zen that comes to you that is found through meditation and it has been a proven thing. And I thought that this was just a fantastic write because it just felt like you can't go wrong when you're going this route. So very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Dexter. And, all right, where are we to next, Lisa?
where are we to next? Right, we have Reality's Truth by Michael McDermott and Gray. Would you care to give this a read for us, please?
Okay, sure. So we have Reality's Truth by Michael McDermott. Sometimes we may appear settled, serene, but no, most understand what they have seen. Don't think your propaganda deceives us all. For our reality's truth, read graffiti on community walls and poem. Oh, fantastic. What did you think, Eva?
Oh, another wonderful brevity. My goodness me, we're being spoiled. I like it a lot. There's a lot to this. It's not just your ordinary, you know, just the words joined together. This is lovely. Sometimes we may appear settled, serene, but no, most understand what they have seen. Don't think your propaganda deceives us all. Yeah, again, it just is, these little truths come out, you know. For some reason, some of us believe what we read, and some of us automatically don't, and some of us question. And that third category is the one that you'd want to be in, the ones who don't just take everything or not take anything, but look into it, query it, and find out. So propaganda is quite a dangerous little weapon to have. But yes, you should read the graffiti on the community walls. I love graffiti. I think it's so clever. Yes, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it, Michael. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Weaver. And Zach, what did you think?
Really cool job. It reminded me of Toxicity, BYOB, and Prison System, all by System of a Down. And it also brought back sort of the anti-war sentiment of the Beatles and War Pigs by Black Sabbath. Very reminiscent of all of those pieces, the propaganda and deceiving us all with reality's truth. So metal. Really well done.
Wonderful comment and great references. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Dexter, what did you think of the poem?
Great comment there, talking about war pigs and the anti-war movement that happened, obviously, in the 70s due to Vietnam. But I also think that it also moved into also what's great about this little brevity also is that it almost moved into hip-hop because you're talking about graffiti on the community walls. This is almost this poem almost took place from the 60s all the way to the 80s in like 8 quick lines. So very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everybody's comments. You know, it's just such a provocative little brevity. You know, it really captures the essence of the world we live in. Don't think your propaganda deceives us all. For our reality's truth, read graffiti on community walls. Such a powerful statement there. And like you said, written in so few lines. So, yeah, beautiful read and excellent write. What's up next, Lisa?
Okay, next we have, I love this title, Have You Seen My Tail? By Ole Gunin, and it's got a SoundCloud, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, here we go.
Have you seen my tail? How interesting would it be to dissect a human like a frog, to inflate them like a balloon and then let go, like they do to frogs, to search for decency inside their cells with a microscope and witness a bunch of froggy organelles jumping through hoops, trying to make ends meet. One could paint the walls bright green with human innards. One could bounce their heads against the floor and dunk them into hairnets. Hell, grown-ups do that anyway. They jump on top of groaning mattresses like, well, frogs. Would the children think of a way to stop this inevitable metamorphosis? It might be fun to never grow past the tadpole stage. Though that would be a utopia. I should know, I've seen too many children in the mirror and heard many a froggy choir outside. You know, it often rains in these parts, but I don't remember the last time I saw the rainbow. The world is just shades of green, viridian, aquamarine, emerald. Would have been nice if it were a forest, but alas, it's a never-ending school corridor, where I'd be a fool to run and everybody already has a playmate. Growing down is as much of a thing as growing up. Emeralds are shiny and expensive, yet they cut ulcers in my stomach. Frogs are cute, yet I've never saved a single one. All I did was getting wet in the rain, coming home, putting my shoes under the radiator and hopping into bed. The moment I had a sheet over my head, I realized I had finally awoken.
Well, great read on that poem. And what did you think, Weaver?
Yes, that's yeah, this is really cool. I like particularly because I feel the great lack of this in my life. You know, it often rains in these parts, but I don't remember the last time I saw a rainbow. The world is just shades of green. Wow, cool. And also, it's, you know, there are so many things, I'm not going to keep quoting them, but that last couple of lines, the last three lines, putting my shoes under the radiator and hopping into bed. The moment I had a sheet over my head, I realized I had finally awoken. Wow. Very good. Yes, I like this. Very, very good read as well, but it was very interesting. And so, again, I'm not going to keep going on because everybody else has to talk. But I could, and I won't. So thank you for sharing that with us, Uli. Very interesting.
Great comment. Thank you, Ziva. And Jack, what did you think?
Very cool. I like the clinical perspective taken by the speaker. Brought to me like the Matrix, almost like the machines perusing through the organs of humans. And what Kafka-esque imagery with the frogginess of the metamorphosis of amphibians and a sense of nostalgia throughout. And also like the idea of the world not being able to change until he wakes up, and almost like a moment of epiphany, there's a sense of optimism. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Zach. And Zach, what did you think? Dexter. Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, you know what I got the feel out of this is almost like if you've ever sat next to somebody like at the bar, and all of a sudden started getting things out of them that you never would have thought. You know, like this one started off as like talking about dissecting a frog, things like this, and it's like you don't know where it's going. And also where it ends is somewhere brilliant. And it's like almost like great poems are finding something brilliant out of somewhere that you never thought that you'd find them. And I thought that this one captured that in a spectacular fashion. So very well done. This was an awesome SoundCloud, and I've never heard of this poet before, but this was a great piece.
Yeah, he is. He's really good, actually. You know, and his reads are fantastic. But you know, have you seen my tail? Because you know, he's talking about this frog that's lost his tail from a tadpole. So that's intriguing for sure. And then I really enjoyed The World Is Just Shades of Green, Viridian Aquamarine Emerald. Would have been nice if it were a forest, but alas, it's a never-ending school corridor where I'd be able to run and everyone has a playmate. You know, when you're all alone in that hallway looking for a friend and everybody's already got one, and you're the last man standing, that's sad, you know, or the last child standing, I guess. But it's very sad. And but, you know, growing down is as much of a thing as growing up. Emeralds are shiny and expensive, yet they cut all through to my stomach. Frogs are cute, yet I've never saved a single one. All I did was getting wet in the rain, coming home, putting my shoes under the radiator and hopping into bed. The moment I had a sheet over my head, I realized I had finally awoken. That's powerful. You know, it's definitely a profound and impactful rite. So thank you for sharing, Ole, and fantastic read. So, yeah. Awesome. What do we have next, Lisa?
Well, we're moving into open poetry now for the second hour. I'm leaving Irish Rose's one for the moment because you might call back. She's got one on open poetry.
Yeah.
So I'll give it 20 minutes or so and then we'll read it if she doesn't manage to get back on. So what we have first of all to start off our open poetry is The Strange Case of Mr. Valdemar by Laurence Montaigne. So that would be our Frank, and it's got a SoundCloud.
Okay, here we go. No, it's not loading.
Oh, no.
No, it seems to be playing. You've got 15 seconds in. You have no sound.
Okay. That's a shame.
I don't know. I'm going to refresh my page and see if it restarts.
Okay.
There we go. There we go.
Excellent. Well done.
My attention for the last 3 years has been repeatedly drawn to the subject of mesmerism, and about 9 months ago it occurred to me quite suddenly that in a series of experiments made hitherto there had been a very remarkable and most unaccountable mission. A person had as yet been mesmerized in articulo mortis till I met Mr. Valdemar. The subject that partook in my experiment was rather intellectual, but he was also a hypochondriac man, obsessed with lingering death. This was an ominous sign of a troubled man facing his dark demons, at a certain heightened state of trepidation and consternation. I had decided to the mechanism, a hypnosis to unravel the secret, to the mystery that had bounded me, to the patient's deplorable condition. I was willing to explore beyond the parameters of human comprehension, not knowing that these boundaries were full of an irreversible return. Steadfastly and so meticulously, I had proceeded with the hypnosis, the death was lurking behind the spooky draperies of the opaque room, but the subject had entered deeply to a powerful trance and left him asleep. For 7 whole months, till he awoke from the chasm of his phantasmagoria. We felt a pulse, halt beat, the perceptible breathing, the skin was cold and pale, his throat and tongue dry to utter words, but his taut lips and jaws were frozen within the agonizing clutch of demise. As his solid body melted away, to the ashen ore of dripping liquid that had remained of Mr. Valdemar. For God's sake, quick, quick, put me to sleep. Oh, quick, waken me. Quick, I say to you that I am
in the book.
Well, bravo, bravo, Samuel Aiken from here. You know, his stage presence is just fantastic. I mean, the way he switched voices, you know, he used three voices throughout the night, and I thought it was just brilliant. You know, his talent is unsurmountable. You know, it's just stellar, you know, over the top. And the right was just seriously, you know, it was a take on a Poe poem, and I thought it was just brilliant. You know, he's got such talent in his writes and his reads. So bravo, Mr. Francisco Frank, a.k.a. Laurent Montagnier. And, you know, just beautiful. Your talent is unsurpassable. So brilliant job. Thank you so much for sharing, Frank. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, well done, Frank. That is an amazing piece of poetry. I really enjoyed it. I mean, a bit icky, but it's supposed to be horror, so I will excuse you the icky. But that, without a pulse, heartbeat, or perceptible breathing, his skin was cold and pale. His throat and tongue tried to utter words, but his taut lips and jaws were frozen. Oh, terrible. And then his body melted. Not a nice ending to an evening, I wouldn't have thought, but beautifully done as ever. Your writing is superb, it really is. I do enjoy your poetry so much. You have a knack, you have an air about you, you have an ability, which I really envy. So thank you, and Mr. Voldemar, thank you too.
Thank you so much. You, great comment. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
A lot of Poe and Lovecraft here. I sensed a lot of like From Beyond and Reanimator vibes, a sense of like experimenting on humans, kind of like brought to mind a sense of Stockholm Syndrome with the prisoner who was perhaps not the victim of the narration. The horror ending kind of with the merging of the bodies at the end reminded me of the film Possession. Very well done.
Excellent comment. Thank you so much for those fantastic references. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Frank really nails it. It's almost, you know, I really appreciate him keeping a certain genre or a certain elements to horror, to poetry, and to literature all alive, you know. Because it should be kept, that Victorian era horror is spectacular, and he keeps it alive. So very well done, Frank.
Good comment, Dexter. Thank you so much. All right, we will move to this.
Hello. Oh, yes, here we are. I was just taking a sip. We have Beckoning Becomings by Uli Lunin, and we have a SoundCloud for that.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Beckoning Becomings. Our story begins like any other and ends like any other. In fact, it is very similar to life. It is life, in a sense, but not as dense with events, but rather offensive and reprehensible in its profanity and plenarity. It is a line without ends. It's a Mobius line, a line in the sand, but also a very distinct line among multiple lines, a lie among multiple lies, a blurry blob of blistering bubbles one would call events and another one would call meth. Not much of a life, really, but not so much of a death. Rather a caricature, a cartoon I wouldn't show to kids or adults, for it is daunting and too bloated to boast any real kind of impact. It's always meta. It's a ghetto of senses that fail to escape it getting shut down by society, sobriety, and anxiety. Some try digging underground where they find their true earthly desires of meshed flesh that looks, feels, and tastes more like dust than anything, but more importantly, anyone. can't avoid going down under with this much luggage packed by my parents, peers, lovers, haters, and all other entities. Yet it's like something from an assembly line, shining, black and bland, babbling and cackling and crackling with energy, never letting its secrets spill out, holding them in a magnetic suspense of disbelief without any relief in sight. This life is a true blight upon the land, eroding it, holding it hostage, hosting all kinds of terrible parties in it, parties with many a party, who in turn have their own parties with flights of fancy, dancing, singing, ringing ears, and stinging wounds exposed to the crowding crowns. It is these wounds, pecked by hungry bird people, fleshpeckers, uncultured vultures, cocky peacocks, that ultimately become lions, become stories, worries, and horrors that keep one awake at night, just because no one truly sleeps. Our story is a dream of a good life gone bad, a feeling or a reeling fist coming at one's face. Bam! That's our story, our life, our death. It's not mine, but ours. Admit it, and commit to it, and permit yourself to stop. Stories are pointless, because they don't have points in them, only lines. They don't even have those, in fact, since lines consist of points. Ultimately, our story is nothing. But we have been telling it for so long, leading up to it and conjuring senses, romanticizing, criticizing, and ostracizing every stray unwanted thought that it became, but never came, or didn't come. It's been hanging on everyone's lips, and it always keeps getting caught up by their tongues and swallowed down. It bathes in stomach acids and sees all sorts of refuse. It hopes to come out as a silver phrase, but it's bronze most of the times. Not bad, but not really something one unskilled in bronze working would work with. A real piece of work, that's what our story is. That's the world we live in. No details, just all bronze, all mirror, no form, all mind, nobody. Nobody to listen closer. I don't want to tell my story, even though it beckons me, but once I drop that last word hanging from my lips, it will beckon no more. There will be just me and a glass. I fill it up with my mind and fail. Then I drool inside it and leave before anyone notices I stole the toothpicks. Life teeming inside salt and pepper shakers, flowing like oil in the bottle, stuck to a napkin like a stain, broken in the future like a stupid glass that doesn't know where it has to be, but never in the past. All of that is digestion, destabilizing me from now, but never manifesting in the past. Our story is what becomes the classic.
Wow, that was a brilliant, right? Yeah, no, it's deeply powerful in its wording and its play of events. It is a line without end, a Mobius line, a line within the sand, but also a very distinct line among multiple lines, a lie among multiple lies, a blurry blob of blistering baubles one would call events, and another would call meh. Not much of a life, really, but not so much of a death. Rather a character, a cartoon. I wouldn't show the kids or adults, for it is daunting and too bloated to boast any real kind of impact. It's always meta. It's a ghetto of senses that fail to escape it, getting shot down by sobriety and anxiety. Some try digging underground where they find their true earthly desires of meshed flesh that looks, feels, and tastes more like dust than anything more, but more importantly, anyone. Wow. Just a hard-hitting, impactful, deeply introspective, right? You know, filled with such talented lines, and the read was just beyond comprehension on its, you know, its value and its stunningness. So just a wonderful write and a fantastic read. What did you think, Lisa?
Oh, I agree totally. I mean, this is, I know there must have been so much work put into this, but it sounded like a stream of consciousness. It sounded effortless. It was his thoughts to our ears, and there was nothing in between. You know, there was no, I will change that word, I'll move that word. There were none of that. It was just beautifully, it flowed so well. I was actually getting excited listening to it because it was It was fast. It was quick, but not too quick. It was quick, but not indistinct. It was well read, and I love the wordage. I don't even know if that is a word, but if it isn't, I've made one up. I just thought it was it was so many alliteration, middle rhyming. You can tell it got me excited. I loved it so much. It's never letting its secrets spill out, holding them in a magnetic suspense of disbelief without any release in sight. Beautifully done. I really, really enjoyed that. I thought it was just brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Weaver. Zach, what did you think?
Oh, it was excellent. I was really kept in the moment with the stream of consciousness of the continuous ellipses of lines going for like an everlasting dust to death with the same senses of momentum, both figuratively and literally, seemingly the very driving spirit of momentum. And I love the natural references to animals sparring, kind of bringing to mind something from Bob Dylan or the Bible. And there was a kind of like morality to the piece. And there are also ways to go backwards as described by the piece through the imagery, not ways to go forward. But in spite of that, there's an all-encompassing sense of not of decay, but of like the brazen shine of bronze. And until then, after that, there is nothing left but the fading way of the self into, I guess, another realm. So I thought that was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Zach. Yeah, you know, I found the poem beautiful, and the read was just fantastic. So great job, and thank you for sharing, Ole. All right, what do we have next, Weaver? Oh, good night, Dexter. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, good night, Dexter.
Hi, Dexter.
Okay, next we have I'm a Bit Like the Weather by Shelley A.B., and I believe there's a SoundCloud for this one, Greg.
Okay, I will play it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, here we go.
I'm a bit like the weather. I'm a bit like the weather. Sometimes I'll bring you a storm. The rain will hammer around you as the dark clouds begin to form. The drops will reach your bones. You will feel the damp take hold. I will coat you in my tears as I embrace you with the cold. I express a bit like the weather. Sometimes I will howl and rage, forcefully blowing angry winds that uproot, taking you hostage. The drums will thrash violently. You will feel the thunder smash. I will make you shake with fear as in through your walls I'll crash. I change a bit like the weather. Sometimes I make everything freeze. Cold snaps that eventually thaw, wrapping you up in a wistful breeze. The sun gently warming your skin. You will feel it bring sweet relief. I will make you feel the sun rays as I light you up into my belief. I feel a bit like the weather. Sometimes I'll lift the grey sky. I will paint on a rainbow for you. Forget you just witnessed my cry. And peace.
Wow, fantastic read. And, you know, our emotions are like weather. You know, we can bring storms that with drops that'll reach your bones. We can embrace you with the cold. We can howl and rage, forcefully uproot you, taking you hostage, making you shake with fear. As through your walls, I'll crash. I feel a bit like weather sometimes. I look to gray skies. I will paint on a rainbow so you forget you just witnessed my cries. Yeah, stunning imagery and emotion throughout. So great job, and thank you for sharing that, Shelley. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree. This is so well done. and lovely reading voice too, very nice. And it was just personification of the weather and herself, and so she reacted with the weather and as the weather. Very clever, very interesting. And I express a bit like the weather. Sometimes I will howl and rage, forcefully blowing angry winds that uproot, taking you hostage. Excellent, really well done. And yes, you can. The weather does affect people. I am aware of that. Some people have that sad, that seasonal something, yeah? And it makes them really cranky and unable to sleep well and not happy at all in the winter when there's not much light. So I can understand that must be terrible. I'm an ex-biker, so I don't give a hoot about weather. There's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothes. That's my motto. Yep. Yeah. You can always tell when you're in a biker's house because there's always other people's lost the word helmets sitting about in the hall and clothes are taken off immediately because when you walk into a house that's warm you're like so hot. Yeah, I love that. I love the weather. I love the changes in the weather. I love the wind and the thunder. But that's probably why I had a bike instead of a car. But this is beautiful. I really enjoyed. This is so clever. So thank you so much for sharing, Kelly. It was lovely.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thanks so much. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I loved it. The damp chill of the chilly rain, somehow comforting, like the feeling of the eye of a storm while the reader peers objectively into the storm of the writer who turns into the cold of winter and then the warmth of the summer. And there's a sense of like an all year round commitment and then like painting a rainbow on the gray skies. That was just so optimistic. I mean, how much more optimistic can you get than that? Well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Zach. All right, Eva, where would you next?
Right, I'm just going back up to from page 6, I think. I'm just checking to make sure I've done. I didn't do Gwen's, because it's a collab. I'll leave that, and you can probably read it next time we're on. So that, and we've got everything there. So we'll go back up to the last first front page picked. I think it was up to two. Oh, yes, have you seen my tail? We didn't do Richard's one, did we? No, we didn't. Oh, and Richard Weissman's got SoundCloud as well. How cool is that?
Yep.
Hang on a second. Have I missed one from the open poetry?
I don't think so.
Jack Tonkovic. Have we had him?
Oh.
No, we haven't, have we?
No, we haven't.
I did miss one. Sorry.
Irish Rose Jack. Piece?
What was that? Sorry?
Was it Irish Rose's piece?
No, I'm leaving that because she likes to read her own, and she's okay. Disappeared, she's dropped off the face of the earth, so I'm leaving that for the next show, so she's got the joy of reading her own stuff. But here's Jack.
So we have
in a moment.
Jack Tomkovic, yes. We have Jack Tomkovic and D.W. London.
Who else? Oh, I have to refresh again.
D.W. London, yeah.
Right, okay, I'll just get this one up and then I'll look for the other one. It's getting towards the end of the evening, people, and it's 4:30 in the morning, so you have to bear with me. And if I do fall asleep, just shout loud. Shout very loudly, and I'll wake
right.
Up again. So, Winter Wonders by Jack Tomkovic. And Zach, would you like to read this one, please?
Sure. Winter Waltz. When the warming sun waltzes through the winter window and softly strokes necks and shoulders, heating, caressing, all his babies cooing, birds chirping, hands holding, power flowing, a river, wide as the Mississippi. Morning shines, a lighthouse beacon like Alexandria's fortress beam, or sterling silver teapots aligned before the queen. Sunlight shimmers as dust motes dance the glitter, prisms, rainbow on walls, all is brightly polished, parlor made for the day. End poem.
Well, great read. Thank you so much. And, you know, it was very imaginative, right? You know, you can see all this as the sun pierced through those winter walls. Necks and shoulders heaving, caressing, all babies, all his babies cooing, birds chirping, hands holding, power flowing, a river wide as the Mississippi. You know, you can see that. He paints a wonderful picture with his words, and I thought it was just wonderful. You know, the sunlight in the winter is just a beautiful thing, so thank you for sharing, Jeff. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, it was very, very emotive, very interesting as well. There's something about winter, and as you say, the light in winter. If you're in a car, the sun, well, in Scotland, the sun seems to be so much lower in the sky in the winter, so that you get light in your eyes and you can't escape it, but it's so bright. It's amazing. In Scotland, you don't get that kind of weather in the summer. So, yeah, it's lovely. And you quoted the stanza that I thought was lovely as well. But again, it's just, it's got this wonderful air of sweet warmth about it. There's no roughness. Everything is smooth. Every curve of the words are there. When the warming sun waltzes through the winter window and softly strokes necks and shoulders. Ah, so good. So it's very, very sweet, Jack. I really enjoyed this. And there's just something lovely about it. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Lisa. All right. Where are we to next, Lisa?
And next. Hello? Did you not comment?
Oh, sorry.
Right.
Zach, what did you think?
I thought there was such a nice vibe here, like the beaming force of love just reminded me of like the light side of the force from Star Wars, just permeating throughout. I know it's a little bit of a corny reference, but that's kind of what it reminded me of.
Cool. I like that. Great references tonight, Zach. I appreciate your comments. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
And, all right. Yeah, absolutely. Great having you. And Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have the one you were telling me about, DW London. I can't actually see a title. Give me a moment. I'm going to open it up. Da-da-da. Just give me a second. It's not opening. Come on. Oh, yeah, I got it. So I'll read this one because everybody else has been working hard. Hang on, has this got a SoundCloud? It's a very odd thing I've got going on here.
Well, it's got a YouTube link, which, I mean, if we hadn't gotten it early, we could have used it. But I don't know if we could get the poem without the link or not.
No,
he's on the post of that. So...
Yeah.
We can ask PW to repost. I will ask him to repost it with the poem instead of the link. Can you post the poem in Word form?
Can we post it in Word form? No?
All right. Oh, can, not have. All right, we'll give him a couple of minutes here to try and put that poem onto the...
Okay.
An ode to writers worldwide.
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard that one or read that one. Okay, I'll just go back up. Diddly-diddly-dee. Grandma's done Richard Weissman, we've done his Pink Fairy. You haven't had Pink Fairy, have we? No. So I should put this one on, Pink Fairy 5. Won't be a moment, coming up now. So this is always this time of the night when things start to go haywire. I've noticed that. So we had just so happened. So now we have Grandma's Bundled Up Cat. I love it. Bundled Up Cat. I should have scratches all over her arms. You know that. Okay, Grandma's Bundled Up Cat. My
yeah.
35. Oh, look at that cat. Oh, my goodness. That cat hates everybody. I love it. Right. Ah, dear. She is a bundled-up cat. I have to give you that. All snug and warm, cozy without any harm. Gamma's given her a scarf with a bit of blue. Bundled cat is wearing her eyeglasses, too. Aren't those glasses prescription?
Hello, Weaver.
I asked. Hello?
Weaver.
Oh, no, I've been dropped.
You may have to call back, Weaver. I think your connection has been broken.
Yeah. Hello?
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 Yeah, we can't hear you, Weaver. You're just a jumble mess.
Okay, I'll call back.
Call back, Weaver.
I will.
Okay, Mac, would you mind doing that, please?
Oh, sure. She is a bundled-up cat. I have to give you that.
Hello, Zach.
All snug and warm. Oh, yes. Hello? Hello?
Is it me that's lost my connection?
Oh, no.
Okay, tell me if
I
you can
hear somebody talking, but it's just terrible. Is it me that's lost my connection?
No, it's me. I'll call back. Carry on without me. You can't even hear me. Why am I talking?
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up and try calling back in.
Okay, can anybody hear me?
All right, I'll call back.
Okay, can anybody hear me? No. Okay, well, I'll... Oh, dearie me. How annoying. Da 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 da. Oh, you can hear me, London. Oh, I hope you can hear me singing. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness me.
Okay, here we go. I'm back.
Okay. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, I can.
Kiddo.
Okay. So, Grandma's bundled up cat. If you can go ahead and read that, please, Weaver.
I will. So I'm not going to read all the bits we've already read, so we'll get to the bit about Grandma's given her scarf with a bit of blue. Bundled cat is wearing her eyeglasses too. Aren't those glasses prescription? I asked Granny Innes. Yes, but no one will give my cat an eye test, she says. I roll my eyes and the cat tries to follow. Having a cat take my place is kind of hard to swallow. You love her more than me, I accuse my grandmother. She smiles and they dance away. The mariachi band. End poem. Brilliant.
Wow. That was a beautiful read. And, you know, some cats are so spoiled that they become like the children and the grandchildren. So I thought it was a wonderful write. Pink Theory 5. Thank you so much for sharing. And Zach, what did you think?
Oh.
Hello, Zach? Hello? Hi.
Hi.
I caught that. It was such a lovely poem. Kind of reminded me like a lovely kind of like a grandma's fruitcake of a cat. Very very spoiled and just full of flavor. Well done.
Absolutely great comment. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was so good. That cat. Oh my goodness. Oh, I love it. Just and such a clever piece of poetry. I mean, really, it's just, yeah. You can imagine somebody saying that of their cat. It's perfectly natural. It's a completely natural piece of poetry. There is no, there is nothing chewed in just to make it sound good. This is just straight from the heart, as if it was a conversation, which I think is great. Sorry, I mucked up the end, by the way. I do apologize for that. I said grandma. I should be grandma. Sorry, Pink Fairy. But it was beautifully written. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing.
Cool. All right, so we have DW's added another poem here, if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all.
Checking the open poetry.
I'll go back. I'm just going to take that one back off and I go back down. Oh, I've been so much exercise today. This is ridiculous. Joking. No exercise at all. Right, here we are. the chili. Oh, I've got a fly. How the heck has a fly got in the room? Good grief. I have to keep refreshing. I'll be back in a sec.
I've got it posted, Viva.
Oh, thank you. You're so good to me. Would you like to ask somebody to read it?
Zach, would you mind reading Writers for DW London?
Writers by DW London. Inspiration comes only to those who have the eyes to live it, exposed to those who feel it, consume it, experience and truly see it, or feeling, being, the cacophony of sounds around them, and images so pure and vivid, capturing in time and rhyme the sense of feeling livid or ecstatic, the empathetic beauty of sunset, even things that haven't seen yet, a world to be observed, a planet so profound, just waiting to be described with their verbs and nouns, a shining metal workman's tool, an energetic bouncing ball, a caterpillar with its multi extremities, a vision of all or serenity, a cute little hat, maybe all of that. In fact, even a tiny creepy crawly, a psychopath, a fat tabby cat, or perhaps a black mountain yak, a huge pack upon its weary back. The world abounds in all things, sparks, the light and the dark, the cold, harsh reality of agonizing situations, from a journalist's sobering realizations. The pen is indeed a tool to inspire one and all, but only you know how to wield it. Writing takes patience and plenty of observation and listening to absorb the world so glistening or darkening, however you see it, describe it, entwine it with history, make it immortal. However abnormal your thoughts or a story so disheartening or a shady thing of the night that aims to give your readers a fright, depending on their current mental state. Why is this so great? Because it gifts us every type of beautiful stories and rhymes from writers worldwide, products of the inside of their diverse and beautiful or dark and hungry minds. I believe writers are the ones who notice more by far, for within everything there is a story, be it observational or gory or fantasy. A writer is the one who will see all these things that might be or have or should or could have been or are never to be seen, merely described from an inspirational dream and poem.
Fantastic read, Zach. And I really enjoyed this poem. You know, it really speaks to writers and the beauty that they weave into our world, you know, the darkness and the gory and the glory. You know, writers are the personification of life itself, in my opinion. You know, when you read, whether it's fiction or faction, you know, it's just a talent to behold, for sure. You know, it really can take the reader along with the writer in what they see and what they experience. So I thought it was a brilliant write and a fantastic read as well, Zach. Thank you for sharing, DW London. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that was a brilliant read, Zach. Thank you so much for that. I thought this was incredibly good. And it's so, and all of it is, you know, what we've all thought of or experienced. And writing, yeah, writing is fabulous. I enjoy the people here because there's a little band of very clever people who know exactly what they're doing, and they do it to perfection. And then you have another group who are just having fun, which I love, obviously. But there are so many different types of writers with different aspects of their life creeping into their work, obviously. So none of us, you know, there's not two of us that are going to have the same reaction to any given situation. And that's the beauty of writing. You know, you're giving somebody your thoughts, your outlook, your ideas, and, you know, and they can take what they want from that, and you hope they enjoy the reading of it. So I thought it was great. It was just exactly what, you know, what does happen. And a lot of times it's not as easy as we'd like it to be. And other times it flows as if it's just a beautiful river of words. So yes, beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing, DW.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you so much. I thought it was powerful, this, you know, statement on the writer's ability to weave their thoughts and their pictures that they see into the reader's mind, which is a talent that, you know, is masterful and should be admired. So what did you think, Zach?
Just what the doctor ordered, a powerful pen, sort of like the driving force of innovation and progress. Very inspiring. I loved it.
Absolutely. Great comments. And all right, what do we have next, Lisa?
And next we have Christmas Socks by Poetically Written. And I'll give this one a little read. Oh, look at that beautiful picture. Isn't that absolutely gorgeous? Right, okay. Imagination takes the wheel. Your ship's at sea, it's quite the field. The dock, the shore, the trees are real. Something behind the fog appeals. A thing in life we like to live is knowing what this life will give. There's no surprise in life we've lived. At times we're blind. It's time for gift. Example found in Christmas stocks. The fog's been lifted from the box. The thing you found was really neat, but some will see they'd dressed your feet. Life's not about the gift that you see. The gift inside the love that's free. The gift you brought was just for me. This defines our chemistry. A lake or dock or even socks. Be thankful wasn't chicken pox. End poem. Beautiful. End poem.
Great, great read, Weaver. And Zach, what did you think?
It's a testament to the imagination and the love language of surprises that defines this couple, the chemistry of this couple. Well, really well done. And better socks than the chicken pox, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a wonderful write, you know. It's a thing of life we like to live is knowing what this life will give. There's no surprise in life we've lived. At times we're blind, and it's time to give. Fantastic wordplay there. And an excellent rate and a fantastic read. All right, what do we have next, Weaver?
And next we have Forest Whispers by Marius Alexandru. And Gray, would you like to give this one a read?
Okay, sure. Okay, I don't see it yet. I'll have to refresh.
Hang on a second. It's probably my fault. There we are.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Sorry.
So this is called Forest Whispers. Why does the forest call to me to whisper secrets wild and free? Why does the breeze kiss leaves so light? Autumn has come, a lover's flight. What tales do the old oaks confide of ages past where shadows hide? Why does the spring murmur its song to serenade the moon night long? Why does the moonlight softly gleam to weave a silver, tranquil dream? And poem. And I thought it was wonderful. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I totally agree. Really lovely. Give me a second here. Yes. Again, you see, you've got trees. You've got me when you've got trees. It's as simple as that. And this is beautiful. I also like rhyming couplets or couplets. I've gone mad on them recently. So you've got something really, really lovely here. It's all about why, and that's great. Why does the forest call to me to whisper secrets wild and free? Why does the breeze kiss leaves so light? Autumn has come, a lover's flight. It's very sweet, very pretty. And that last, you know, the last two lines, why does the moonlight softly gleam to weave a silver, tranquil dream? Lovely, really, very nice. It's gentle and it's sweet and it does lull you. It actually lulls you. It could be a beautifully told lullaby. So yes, thank you very much for sharing that with us, Marius. Very good.
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
Reminded me of a more peaceful rendition of Forest by System of a Down. a little less intense and more introspective with the questions asking the forest for answers, and a beautiful shifting of a light to darkness to represent the changing of the seasons. I loved it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Seth. Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. Like the oak tree really caught my imagination because I wrote a poem once about carving a girl's initials on an old oak tree. And, it makes me wonder if they're still there. But, it was beautiful. And it was tranquil and endearing throughout. So great job. And I don't think we've played Richard Wiseman's poem yet.
Oh, really? Is that in open poetry or is it in Pick a Picks?
No, it's a front page pitch, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, have we got to it yet? Have I gone past it?
Yeah, you did.
Yes. Thank you so much. That's the trouble with galloping up and down pages. You lose half of what you meant to do.
Yeah.
So here we are. Yeah, I've got it now. And it's... No. Yeah, I've got it now. Okay. I think you should probably get somebody else for this job. I'm rubbish at it.
No, you're doing wonderful.
Okay. Just back up the page again. I'll be with you in a moment. No, that's not working. Why am I not getting what I want? No, that's not it either. Here we are. Yay. Got it.
Okay.
Sorry, Richard. We're with you in a moment, my dear. Okay, who's not read for a while? Zach, would you like to read it? Or is Dex gone, hasn't he?
It's got a SoundCloud.
It's
got a SoundCloud.
Oh, Ed,
yeah.
Better. Cool. Oh, yes, I see it.
Okay,
great.
Here
thank
we go.
You.
Subterranean Art Fantasies by Richard Wiseman. Teary-eyed street musician with fool cap strums out Bach guitar rhythm. Till sound is dwarfed by the oncoming local. Sign at his feet reads, "Singing for my supper, thanks, New York." His struggling against the urban machine echoes through my bowels as I fantasize this notebook slipping from my hands, now onto the tracks. A phantom four train rolls uptown, shredding scribbled lines beyond repair. My mechanized adversary screeches north as I dive to the track, wading through rat poison, grime puddles, and rotting garbage to salvage my life's dream. End of poem.
Well, that was great. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, that was lovely. Really nice. It's just a lovely picture, isn't it? I mean... Apart from when you get to the grim puddles and the rotting garbage, but apart from that, it's lovely. I really liked it. Teary-eyed street musicians with fool's caps strum out back guitar rhythms till sound is dwarfed by the oncoming local. Oh, yeah. That must be so heartrending and so difficult to be a busker anywhere, but down a train station, oh, my goodness me. And they carry on, don't they? They just keep on keeping on. But yeah, I thought it was very well written. I really enjoyed it. It was evocative. It gave you this picture of what was going on, and I liked that. My mechanized adversary screeches north as I dive to the track, wading through rat poison and grim puddles. Oh dear, no! But he got it back. He got his notebook, fancy notebook back. So yeah, great. Well done, Richard. I really enjoyed this.
Okay, appreciate that. Great comment. And Zach, what did you think?
I loved it. Reminded me of Subterranean Homesick Blues by Bob Dylan. You know, Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. But this is more Bukowski than Dylan, I thought. And I felt the influence of both. And I love the rapid cadence of words throughout. And it just brings to mind like a sense of consistency. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you so much. And I thought he did a fantastic job of his read on this poem. I fantasized this notebook slipping from my hands now onto the tracks. A phantom four train rolls uptown, shredding scribbled lines beyond repair. My mechanized adversary screeches north as I dive through the tracks leading through rat poison, brine puddles, and rotting garbage to salvage my life stream. You know, when your life stream is written in a notebook and it's being destroyed by a train, that's really got to suck. But, you know, I really enjoyed the picture you painted in the beginning with the busker, you know, being grabbed out by the local. I thought it was just a talented write, you know. It really speaks to his talent. So excellent, excellent write, Richard. Thank you for sharing. All right, Weaver, what do we have next? Oh, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
What? Oh, ding dong.
Hello and welcome, DW.
How you are?
How are you tonight?
I'm good, thanks. You?
I'm great, thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Am I on the radio now?
Yeah, you are. I'm going to post your poem in the group, and then you can go ahead and read it. All right, so we have Truth and Perception by DW London, and I'm just going to post that to the group. And you can give that a read for us.
Okay, it's called Truth and Perception.
Okay.
In this world of masks and illusions, where deception reigns and truth is fusion, it's hard to discern what's real and true and separate the facts from the lies we consume. Distorted mirrors, fractured reflections, refracted light, endless imperfections, the truth obscured by broken glass, a fragmented reality that we can never last. A kaleidoscope of twisted sights, bewildering, disorientating nights. Exuberance, dishonest in its display. Moments unscripted, yet lived every day. Words, shades of meaning unclear. Inflamed egos, objectives insincere. Perceived reality, definition hindered. Truth forever compromised and tampered. An exploding array of hallucinations. Vivid bewilderments, disorientations, energetic zeal, dishonest in nature, torturous conflict in life and in scripture, different connotations and shades of meaning, illuminated pages so biasly leaning, impotent content underhandedly hindered, compromised veracity masquerading as tender, affliction, possession and all that it sees, from the dirt blowers to the trees and the breeze, the inflexible, unyielding, firm and fixed, beginning to collapse like eroding old bricks. It's insidious affection slightly distributed, leaving us open and perpetually infected, wandering solitary across the sheets of existence, a presumably infinite, unquantifiable distance. End poem.
Well, you did a wonderful read on that. Thank you so much for calling in to read your poem.
I was a bit nervous. My voice was a bit croaky.
Oh, no, you did wonderful. Thank you so much. But, you know, I really like it. You know, I enjoyed the title, Truth and Perception. You know, truth is based on your perception. And, you know, so many people hide behind the truth that, you know, they can't deal with their perception. And, you know, I really enjoyed
the
title.
The amount of fake news that we consume these days, the amount of fake media that we see on TV, on the internet and stuff, that was kind of what was in my mind when I wrote it.
Yeah, well, you did wonderful with the write. You know, I love the juxtaposition woven throughout the write. You know, insidious affection, slightly distributed, leaving us open and perpetually infected, wandering solitary across shoots of existence, presumably infinite, unquantifiable distance. Just brilliant. You know, you're a talented writer. I'm going to follow you right now. So that's fun.
Oh, thanks
and,
very much.
Yeah,
thanks.
Great
Cheers.
Job.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
I like this group as well. Thank you for that. All right, nice to chat to you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, it's been a great addition to have you. So, Weaver, what do you think of DW's right? Yeah, absolutely welcome. Weaver?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you said my name. I apologize. Yes, that was brilliantly read, and I really enjoyed it, DW. And yes, I completely agree that it's very difficult to know people. Especially nowadays when we tend to not mix as much as we used to, I don't think. And obviously when you're online or on a computer, all you've got is what that person gives you of themselves. So, you can never know the real person. We're different people to everybody that we meet and talk to and react differently to everybody, and they react to us. But I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. And that last stanza, fabulous. The insidious affections slyly distributed. I like that. Yeah, so thank you very much for reading and sharing with us.
Well, I'm going to hang on now, but thanks very much, guys. Yeah, cheers. Cheers, guys. Good night.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, DW. Right. And Zach, what did you think of DW?
Thank you so much.
I loved it. The pointy kaleidoscope chamber of, broken glass, kind of, destroying the inner and outer reality of the poet. And I felt torn apart by that spiral. And there's an absence of truth being destroyed. We all wear those masks. I thought it was very well done, along with the abstract image.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right. So, Weaver, I think we have time for one more. It's 4 minutes to.
Well, we should probably read the one that I put up for Lucid Snooze by Jeremy. Can you still see that one? Will I post it again?
Yeah.
Yes, post it again.
I can post it. I'll post it now. Okay, there we go.
Excellent. And Gray, would you like to read that, please?
Okay, sure. So we have Lucid Snooze by Jeremy F. It's just a Clark-like heap and bound to gap any needed consciousness. Gleams to stream, the singing of green, wielding a spear with heroic potency. Tangy fantasies primed by fast times, volupt up into fruition, sand hands on seductions and puzzling crumb trails, the path where this all leads to next. A five-fingered swing upon Johnny Law, right square across his Johnny Law jaw, dust without fingerprints, consequence, or the contour of a court-ordered apologies. Button up the collar and silver on the cufflink, to rest, well-dressed, indefinitely. Superman, buried, daring victim to an intermittent nightmare, even the throes of utopia, hit into intermission. End poem. And what are your thoughts, Lisa?
Oh, yes, this is a great piece of poetry. I really enjoyed this. This was, there's so much in it. He says in answer to somebody's comment, it's about overindulgence, living life without consequence, being self-observed and guilt-free. Yes, that would be, that would be great for a little while, I think, and then you'd have so many enemies, it might not be so much fun. It's the difficulty of living with people. That's what we're basically coming down to. Very clever, though, isn't it? The tangy fantasies primed by fast times, locked into fruition, someone's hands on seductions and puzzling crumb trails, the path where this all leads to next. I'd love to know where this all leads to next. Very well done. Thank you, Jeremy, for sharing this with us.
Absolutely. Great comment. And just so you know, DW, I believe that when you call through these links, there is no cost to you on your phone. So just so you know that it's a internet thing. You know, you've already paid for your internet, so you can call in. Zach, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. From the Lewis and Clark-like leap, there's a long leap of faith, I guess, like a sense of moving forward, and there's like the five-fingered swing on the law, kind of reminding me of like Robin Hood almost, and criminals doing what they do. I guess that's the way it is, and it brings, I guess, a kind of balance to the world, slow it become. And it brings to mind a gritty kind of Clint Eastwood. That was well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Well, that is the show for tonight. Thank you for calling in. Dexter, DW, Iris Rose, Zach, a.k.a. Hermo Neurotica, and Weaver Dreams, a.k.a. Katie of Scotland. So have a great night, everyone, and I appreciate you all. Much love.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Well done tonight, Zach. You did beautifully.
Night. Thank you.
No problem. Good night, Gray. Love you.
Great having you. Good night. Love you, too. Good night, everybody. Much love.
Night.